Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Union Congregational Church, a church in the United Church of Christ, where no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here, whether in these pews or online, whether today or throughout the week. We are really glad that you're here today. And today is Transfiguration Sunday, the last Sunday in Epiphany before we start Lent. And it's also a Communion Sunday, so this is your opportunity, if you are joining us somewhere else other than here, to get your elements out of your pantry or wherever you can find them, so that you can celebrate with us later on in the service. So a couple of announcements. Ash Wednesday is this coming Wednesday. We'll do a service here, a very simple service at 7 p.m. Right here. And also, March 12th begins our Confirmation for Adults discussion series, where John O'Donovan and I will be leading it. He'll be leading it by himself on the 12th, and then I'll be leading it by myself a little bit later on in April because he'll be gone. So we help each other out. And then the other times, the two of us will be leading it together. So it's going to be a really lovely discussion because it talks about a lot of the things that you would typically think of in a confirmation curriculum for middle schoolers and high schoolers, like what we normally do, but it is it's more aimed at an adult type level one, and for any of us who didn't grow up in the United Church of Christ, it's a good sort of primer to our theology and our polity and stuff if you're not as familiar with that. Let's see, Deanne has an announcement.
As a kickoff to our creation care, pay it forward type of study we're going to do, I want to remind you that the Northeast and Southeast regions of Wisconsin will be meeting at Pilgrim, UCC in Fond du Lac on Saturday, March 15th, 10 to 2. And we've been invited specifically to attend that because Bob will be there, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he's in charge of that committee, mm-hmm. like, right? So, and Bob Allman, who will be speaking to us on April 6th, and did we set that right after service, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, maybe from service, 10:30 to noon or something like that. So get those dates in your calendars, March 15th, and maybe if you guys talk it up and back, maybe you can carpool or something from 10 to 2 in Fond du Lac. And then on Sunday, April 6th, that'll be our time to meet with Bob and learn more about that after church. Thanks.
Thanks, Deanne. Anything else? Okay, then let us share the peace of Christ with one another.
Would you please rise and join me to the call of worship? See how you do that? You just don't sit down. The call of the Holy One has brought us together. We have been called to pray and to praise. We are called to worship and to holy wonder. May the light of love burn brightly in us. May it transfigure and transform our hearts and minds. May it become a beacon of hope for others. Please join me in the opening prayer. God of mountaintops and valleys and everywhere in between, we thank you for meeting us where we are. We thank you also for leading us to this place of prayer and renewal. Enlighten our minds, radiate our hearts, and ready us for your alive word of love. Let it shine in and through us, lighting a path of grace, hope, and joy. May the time-driven power shown forth in Jesus Christ also shine in us for the good of the world. Amen. And please join us in the opening hymn, number 654, Holy Ground. And
this may be a new one for some of us. So we'll do this a couple of times, and it's a pretty simple chorus. But Sue and I might we'll demonstrate it once, and then we'll do it maybe two more times. Sounds good? So it goes like this. We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Let us pray. Thank you, as always, for trying something new together. This is, I really do appreciate the singing when we try something new like this.
All right. Good morning. I don't see a lot of little kids, but I actually could use a bigger kid today. Wade, would you mind helping me? You do mind? Oh, darn. Tiffany, will you help me then? Wade didn't want to be the only one, but I actually needed somebody that could measure. Yeah. We're going to stand up here around my science experiment table. Remember those? Come on around the back side, maybe. Remember those black science tables in middle school and high school? Yeah. This is my version of that. I have a problem, Tiffany, and I need you to help me out. I'm going to turn this on, so being a fellow teacher and educator and a co-worker, she can chime in too. Mm-hmm. So feel free to chime in. I'll let you. You can set it down when you need to. I mixed these up.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to make a cake, and I have baking soda in one of these and baking powder in the other one. Oh, boy.
They're different.
Yeah, they're really different, aren't they? And baking powder is not going to let my cake rise. But baking soda will. and I don't know which one's which. So I have here a jar of vinegar and my overflow bucket just in case, because we're going to talk about transfiguration, which to me is a fancy term for change. Ooh, I have vinegar in here, and as soon as I open that, I smell that.
Yep.
Yeah. Tiffany, will you do me a favor and put, I don't know, as much as you want, half a teaspoon or something like that, of this one, and let's see if it reacts, and I'll hold it up over the bucket. Okay. And, oh, it's reacting a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Okay, that could be baking soda. It's scary. I thought I was going to do nothing if it was baking powder. That could be the baking soda. All right, let's see what this one does.
Oh here
boy.
We go.
Oh boy, good thing I have the overflow bucket here. It's almost to the top. Now I know which one's baking soda. So today's scripture reading is about transfiguration. And now I know which one changed, made a chemical reaction for my cake. Got to make sure I know that this one's baking soda now that I mixed it up. I'll probably leave here and have to do that again. Jesus' disciples got some proof about who Jesus was.
Hmm.
Okay. Peter, James, and John went on the mountaintop with Jesus, and all of a sudden, Jesus was transformed. There was this really bright light and a voice that said, "This is my son. Listen to him." So Peter and James and John witnessed this transformation. They got to see the actual change. They got to see it. They witnessed it. That was their proof, just like I needed proof, which one was baking soda. So Jesus said to his disciples, "Now you know who I am. Go and spread the good news of God." And that's my
indeed
moral of the story today. Thank you. Can you lead us in prayer?
Absolutely. So I'm going to say a short phrase, and I invite you to repeat it back to me. Dear God,
thank you
for showing us proof
of Jesus' love for us.
Help us
share the news
of your love with everyone we meet. Amen. Thank you, Tiffany. Thank you, Becky. That was so great. Not every children's moment or intergenerational moment has a science experiment. That was fun. Thank you, Becky.
This morning's scripture is Luke 9, 28 through 45. And you can follow along on the screen. About 8 days after Jesus said these things, he took Peter, John, and James and went up on a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes flashed white like lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, were talking with him. They were clothed with heavenly splendor and spoke about Jesus' departure, which he would achieve in Jerusalem. Peter and those with him were almost overcome by sleep, but they managed to stay awake and saw his glory as well as the two men with him. As the two men were about to leave Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it's good that we're here. We should construct three shrines, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But he didn't know what he was saying. Peter was still speaking when a cloud overshadowed them. As they entered the cloud, they were overcome with awe. Then a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." Even as the voice spoke, Jesus was found alone. They were speechless and at the time told no one what they had seen. The next day, when Jesus, Peter, John, and James had come down from the mountain, a large crowd met with Jesus. A man from the crowd shouted, "Teacher, I beg you to take a look at my son, my only child. Look, a spirit seizes him, and without any warning, he screams. It shakes him and causes him to foam at the mouth. It tortures him and rarely leaves him alone. I begged your disciples to throw it out, but they couldn't." Jesus answered, "You faithless and crooked generation, how long will I be with you and put up with you? Bring your son here." While he was coming, the demon threw him down and shook him violently. Jesus spoke harshly to the unclean spirit, healed the child, and gave him back to his father. Everyone was overwhelmed by God's greatness. While everyone was marveling at everything he was doing, Jesus said to his disciples, "Take these words to heart. The human one is about to be delivered into human hands." They didn't understand this statement. Its meaning was hidden from them, so they couldn't grasp it, and they were afraid to ask him about it. Here ends the readings for today. May God bless us as we learn from these holy words. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Deanne. Our media song for today comes from Tracy Chapman. This is "The Times They Are A-Changin'."
Gather round, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you grow. Accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are changing. Writers and critics, you prophesize with your pen. And keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin. And there's no telling who that it's naming. And the loser now will be later to win. For the times, they are changing. Senators and Congress, please heed the call. Don't stand in the doorways, don't block up the hall. For he that gets hurt will be he who has stalled. There's a battle outside and it's raging. It'll soon shake your windows and rattle your walls. For the times, they are a-changin'. Mothers and fathers throughout the land, don't criticize what you can understand. Your sons and your daughters are beyond your command. Your old road is rapidly aging. Please get out on the new one if you can lend your hand. For the times, they are changing. Drawn, the curse it is cast. The slow one now will later be past, as the present now will later be past. Your old road is rapidly fading, and the first one now will later be last. For the times, they are changing.
And this song has powerful words for our time, and we were really excited about sharing it. But the No, and no disrespect to Bob Dylan, who originally wrote it, but the media team and I were all in agreement that we didn't want to sit around for a whole song and now gather around, people, wherever you roam. The times, they are a-changin'. My Bob Dylan impression doesn't come out very often. But... Gotta have some humor during worship. Let's pray. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts in this hour be acceptable to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I don't know about you, but I know that I often have trouble focusing, right? I don't think I have a formal diagnosis of ADHD, and I don't think I need to go into the doctor's office tomorrow to get that checked out. But I do know that sometimes, if I were able to quiet my mind a little bit more often, I know that I would get a lot more done more quickly. This is kind of something that also happens to creative types, right? While we have so many things on our minds and so many things we want to accomplish, sitting down, setting our intentions, and actually finishing something usually kind of eludes us. If you took a deep dive into my computer's hard drive, you'd find a lot of... you'd find a lot of unfinished music projects. You'd find a lot of things that that I started 10 years ago and kind of abandoned. And you'd find a lot of new ideas that haven't been sort of developed yet. And that analogy is kind of a stretch, but it's a little bit like how the disciples of Jesus might feel in today's text. You know, the Transfiguration is a text that we return to every year, but the idea is something that we don't always grasp, right? It's kind of this strange thing that happens, and its meaning was hidden from the disciples, and frankly, it's kind of hidden from us. Because if you look at the text through the way it's presented, even the writers of the story don't exactly know how to describe it. But I'm going to take a little bit of a different way of looking at it this year, because if you look at it through the lens of what happens directly afterward, that might help us sort of understand a little bit better why the moment of the Transfiguration was important. And that's why I had Deanne read us a little book today. So thank you for that. So first I'm going to talk about what the moment of the Transfiguration can teach us, and then I'm going to move to the second half of that story, and where Jesus gets indignant with people. Part of this message is going to consist of me sort of retelling the story and talking about what it means for us today, and there's a lot to digest in what Deanne just read, and I want to make sure that we get the most out of it that we can. So let's set the scene here. Jesus and Peter and James and John are going up to a mountain, right? Peter, James, and John are tired in a similar way that they're going to be tired at the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus gets arrested. And that actually means something, right? So the reason that they're probably tired is because they are grieving. They're grieving because... It is just so difficult to be a follower of Jesus sometimes. And it's hard to live among people who consider Jesus to be an existential threat to Jesus' way of living. And I can only imagine the weight that the disciples carry. And to be honest, I wonder if I could do the same thing. I don't know. And I wonder if all of us could do the same thing. I don't know. But for one reason or the other, the disciples feel compelled to follow Jesus, even if they don't understand the costs of the endeavor. And suddenly, the disciples see Jesus with Moses and Elijah, each of whom had had their own mountaintop experiences in the times of the Old Testament. And then Jesus turns bright white. The disciples almost fell asleep, but eventually they see Jesus and they hear a voice from God saying, "This is my Son, the chosen one. Listen to him. Listen to him." And meanwhile, the first distraction comes when Peter is all bent up about building shrines to memorialize the occasion where Jesus and Moses and Elijah are all together. But this is the first time I'm going to tell you that somebody misses the point in this story. Peter is too distracted by doing this sacred art project that he struggles to fully understand that God is trying to send him and the others a message. You know, this is Jesus, the one who comes to make the world like I will it to be. Listen to him. Listen to him. And oftentimes, we end our scripture reading right there because, it's kind of long. But instead, today we're going to look at the second half of that story as well. Now, after seeing all this, Jesus and Peter and James and John come down from the mountaintop. And as there usually is, there's this crowd that sort of forms around Jesus because, you know, Jesus is kind of incredible. And all of a sudden, a man yells out to Jesus and says, "Teacher, I beg you to take a look at my son, my only child." And a spirit is seizing him, and he's foaming at the mouth, and it tortures him and rarely leaves him alone. "I begged your disciples to call it out, but they couldn't do it." Now, by now, you probably can guess how I feel about this exchange. The healing narratives of Jesus are tricky at best for people who live with disabilities or mental health conditions. And often, the people who are being healed never speak themselves. And this is one of those times, if you notice, the son never speaks. And it's a tricky thing in the disability community because if the person who is being healed doesn't have autonomy and doesn't get the chance to speak their piece, desires and their own needs and their own feelings kind of feel like they're erased. But I'm not going to focus as much on that today, but I would be remiss if I didn't say anything. Instead, this moment illustrates what Jesus considers to be another distraction. Jesus quickly becomes very indignant. He says, "You faithless and crooked generation, how long will I be with you and put up with you?" Now, in my view, Jesus becomes indignant because word had gotten around that Jesus was almost like a magician. You know, Jesus says, "Abracadabra," and magically people are healed. Now, I don't say this to diminish the powerful ways that God's grace showed up in these moments that Jesus did, but Jesus believes that all who follow him have forgotten the larger point. He later explains this to his disciples. Scripture says, while everyone was marveling at everything he was doing, Jesus said to his disciples, take these words to heart. The human one is about to be delivered into human hands. Of course, people didn't understand when Jesus speaks like this, and we have the benefit of understanding what all this means because we understand the rest of the story. But as we prepare for this Lenten journey, I think Jesus is asking us to refocus ourselves towards the bigger picture of what's most important. There's a reason that we look at this text right before Ash Wednesday. Texts like this remind us that we need to remain focused on Jesus' journey to the cross and what his ministry has always been about up to this point. You know, it's weird because it seems in some ways like we just celebrated Christmas. You know, the moment where Jesus is born and Jesus is liberating the world. But the yearly reminder that the ministry of Jesus was indeed short and fraught with difficulty, and how he was the example for what God wills for the world, is so important. In today's media song, originally written by Bob Dylan, Tracy Chapman talks about how the times are changing. People are going to understand eventually how God is at work through Jesus Christ in moments like these. And as we start our sermon series on Christian nationalism next week, it's important to remember the societal backdrop of what's going on in our country and around the world when there is fear and hatred and division and war everywhere. And, you know, people don't always know how to talk to each other about what's going on in the world because it often devolves into personal attacks. But this is part of the story that Jesus is trying to tell us in times like these. Jesus is not sort of this middle ground, right? Jesus talks about love and liberation, and some of the ways that he does that can be very countercultural and very dangerous, even. So, this is the question this week. How will you pay attention to the story of Jesus' transfiguration and of his ministry and of his death? How will you continually remember what Jesus did for you and what Jesus did for all of us? As we prepare to take this Lenten journey with Jesus all the way into the cross over these 40-some-odd days, may we do so with hearts wide open. May we do so without distraction. May we do so with our faces set firmly towards the path to liberation, to love. May it be so. Amen. So now comes the time where we share the prayers and joys and concerns of our community. So I invite us to take a few moments of silent prayer to think of the people and situations that need our prayers and our love today. And I have a few prayer requests, and then I will solicit yours. So let's take some silent time. Amen. So I have a few prayer requests that I was made aware of, and then we'll come around with a microphone and ask for yours. So Paul Hartel asks us for prayers. He's continuing to recover from his foot surgery, but he is now having some complications with therapy, which is exhausting physically and also exhausting emotionally for him. So for continued recovery and for patience and for grace. God in your mercy. Jane Dirksen Cheney is having surgery this week. She is having a bowel resection. So for her medical team and for patients for her and for patients for Steve as she recovers. God in your mercy. Jeff Champion is also having surgery this week, and he'll be out of work for a few weeks and everything as he recovers at home. So for Jeff and for Sandra, God in your mercy. And also for peace in Ukraine. Ukraine has been in the news a lot this week with the two presidents meeting this week and the difficulty that meeting entailed. I ask for prayers for Ukraine and that allies of peace and hope would assist them in their time of need. God in your mercy. What other prayers do we bring this morning? Dan's got one.
I received word I was driving here that my sister's partner's best friend first, brother-in-law second, will likely be exiting our earth today.
Oh.
So, Tom.
Tom. For Tom and for a graceful transition from life to life. God in your mercy. Anything else? Yeah, that's some.
Yeah, how's your mom doing?
Oh, she is, thank you for asking. She was in the hospital last weekend with a sinus infection. Normally, you know, that's something that you just get antibiotics for and you're sent home. But because her surgery is going to be on March 14th, so a couple weeks from now, they really wanted her to have that surgery on time and for her to get healthy. So she is feeling much better now. She was out of the hospital within a couple of days, but spent the whole weekend there. Not quite the weekend she was expecting, but it is what it is, and she is just ready to get it out. And unfortunately, since I will be out of town that day, I will not be able to be with them at the hospital on the day. But I will certainly be thinking about them the entire day, and I know that your prayers will be with her as well. So, for my mom and my dad and my sister and for her medical team, God in your mercy. Anything else today? Thank you for asking. Let us pray. God, in your grace and love, we give you thanks that you are with us in times of change. We give you thanks that our faith in you helps us to refocus ourselves towards what's most important. We give you thanks for the ways that we are a community of faith working together for love and for liberation for all. We especially remember those who whose names have been lifted in prayer, for Paul, for Jane, for Jeff, for Melanie, for Tom, for Tom's family, loved ones, and for all of those who are experiencing war and violence and conflict and abuse both at home and abroad, for those who are experiencing homelessness, for those who are experiencing poverty or food insecurity, for those who are discriminated against for being who they are, and for living the full truth of their light in the world. We ask you to be with all of us as we continue to be a light of hope and a beacon of love in this world where division and lies and hatred continue to be a part of our everyday. Help us understand. Help us love more. Help us be present to the people and situations that are in most need of our care. We pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ, who shows us the way even to the cross and teaches us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." The time has come to offer our gifts back to God. Here at Union Congregational Church, we give thanks for all gifts that are given, whether through time, talent, treasure, or prayer. There will be ushers coming around to collect an offering if you have one here in person. And if you are with us online, please consider giving online at ucc.wapan.net. But however you give, may you give with generosity towards the work of this local church and our ministries here and our ministries around the community and around the world. If it's comfortable for you to do so. Join me in the prayer of dedication. O Spirit of life, shine on us again and again, that we may become the blessing you intend. Keep awakening us to your holy mystery and your sacred call. Bless these gifts, that your energy of love may be shared with those others and offer the light of a new beginning. By this and more than we can name, continue to transfigure us and the world. Amen. You may be seated. We now come to a time where we share Holy Communion with one another. We remember that at this table, it does not belong to me. It does not belong to this local church. It does not belong to the United Church of Christ. It does not belong to any particular denomination. It does not belong to any particular entity except to Christ, who is the host and invites all of us to participate, whether we are members of this church or this denomination or not, whether we have been here many times or we have never been here before. So for any of us who would like to participate, this table is open to you. Let us pray. Beloved, God is with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the faithful one, our God. Creator God, we thank you, for in the beginning you said, "Let there be light," and there was light. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. You claim us as your people and covenant with us to be our God. When we go from you imprisoned by our wants and fears, you set us free from all that oppresses us. You give us your word, a lamp for our feet and a light on our path. Therefore, in gratitude with all creation, we sing your praise. Holy, holy, holy one, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of God. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed are all who come in your name, and blessed is Jesus your Christ, the light of the world. He created for us a dwelling built not of walls but of light. He fed the hungry and healed the broken. For his witness to justice, he was crucified. But the darkness cannot overcome the light. Even as he faced his death, he shone with the light of resurrection. Almost fell there. And on the night that he faced betrayal and desertion, he gathered his friends in an upper room, and he took bread and he broke it, blessed it, and gave it to the disciples, saying, "This is my body, broken for you. Every time you eat this, remember me." And then after they were finished eating, he took a cup of wine, poured it out, and blessed it, and gave you thanks, saying, "This is my blood, poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. This is the new covenant I make with you. Every time you drink this, do so in remembrance of me." As often as we break this bread and share this cup, we remember his death and resurrection until he comes again. Remembering these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a living and holy sacrifice in union with God. As we, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on these gifts of bread and cup, that they may be for us the body and blood of Christ. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us, that we may be for the world the body of Christ. With the light of your word guiding us, the light of your love shining in us, for the healing of the world. So as we come to take communion, just a few notes. You may come by way of the center aisle, and on each side there are pieces of bread. And the bread in the center here is gluten-free, if anybody has gluten sensitivities. Take a piece of bread and eat it, and then take a cup from the tray, and return to your seats by way of the side aisles. So friends, the gifts of God are given for the people of God. Come, for all things are now ready. And also, if you're not able to come, come to the table yourself, somebody will be more than happy to bring elements to you. Please join me in the prayer after communion. God, we thank you for this mystery in which you have given yourself to us in love. As the risen Christ shone on the mountain, ready to face his death, we too, by your grace in us, shine with the light of your love, ready to go out into the world and serve, confident in your grace. Bless us that we may listen to Christ always and shine with your love for the blessing of the world, in the grace of your Spirit, and in the name of Christ. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 358, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. Please rise if it's comfortable for you to do so. Before I give the benediction, let us recite our mission and vision statements together. We go now to love God's creation, share in fellowship, and live Christ's example, while seeking God's blessing on our lives and on our communities. Living our core values, we, the family of Union Congregational Church, seek to deepen our own spirituality with acceptance of all, through love and a commitment to Christ. My friends, receive these words of benediction. May you go from this place knowing that God calls you to pay attention and that Christ calls you to understand the deeper meaning of his ministry, of his life, and of his death. May you go from this place sharing the light of hope and the light of love that Christ gives to your life. And may you remember that Jesus lives, works, and dies for your benefit. Now may the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Go in peace to love and serve. Amen.